The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown the man down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." and reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And these demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 44. To brothers and sisters in Christ, is the flu season over yet? Not yet. We still have at least another month to go. The exact timing and duration of the flu seasons can vary, but its activity often begins to increase in October. Most of the time, flu activity peaks between December and February, and we're still in February, although activity can last as late as May. Now, what can you do to stay healthy and avoid the flu? Now, for some people who have compromised problems in a variety of areas, it can be very serious. The primary means of distribution of the virus is by an infected person coughing or sneezing, although mere breathing will also do the trick. A healthy person can acquire the virus by inhaling or ingesting the virus before it decomposes. Ways to avoid the virus include washing your hands before you eat, washing your hands after using public computers, or after being in an area with large groups of people. You should avoid contact with people who are coughing or sneezing or otherwise sick. Taking your flu shot in the fall before the season starts is an excellent way to prevent getting the bug, or at least getting its worst symptoms. The science of epidemiology, which studies the spread of germs and viruses in human populations, is relatively new. In the modern era, Dr. John Snow of England is famous for his investigations into the causes of the 19th century cholera epidemics. In 1854, he noticed significantly higher death rates in two areas of the city of London. His identification of the Broad Street water pump as the cause of the Soho epidemic is considered a classic example of epidemiology. He used chlorine in an attempt to clean the water and had the handle removed, and that ended the outbreak. This has been perceived as a major event in the history of public health and regarded as the founding event in the science of epidemiology. Now, one of the characteristics of Jesus is that he too was concerned about public health. Not just your health, public health. Now, this is interesting because we tend to think of Jesus as only being interested in people's spiritual or religious welfare. Now, the Jewish people were more healthy than other people of their day. This was because the dietary and health laws of the Old Testament had some positive effect in promoting public and individual health. Here are some examples. In Jewish lands and communities in Bible times, people with leprosy and other skin diseases were quarantined until healed or they were dead. A dead animal or dead person was considered unclean. People who touched dead bodies were under quarantine for a specified period of time in case a disease caused the death. Animals who ate carrion or garbage, like pigs or dogs, were not to be eaten because they could harbor a disease that caused death. All these laws and many more were still in effect in Galilee and Judea in the days of Jesus. Now, in spite of the excellent laws promoting public and individual health, in Jesus' day, people still got sick, got disabled, and they died from illness. One of the things that you can observe about Jesus in the Gospels is that wherever and whenever he entered a new town or region, he healed the sick and the disabled there. And, as our text says, he healed them all. This means that first, he made no distinction between rich and poor. And that second, he was able to heal all diseases and maladies. Look again at our gospel lesson, verses 40 and 41, which state, "Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out, many crying, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" I think most Christian believers take these reports of Jesus' healing for granted because they're so common in the Gospels. They're everywhere. But we shouldn't take them for granted. Just imagine that Jesus walked into church this morning and offered to heal anyone of any disease or disability for free after the church service in the library. Now, I'm pretty sure, I know a lot of you, most of you would go there to get rid of one of the problems you have right now. Would you be bashful or proud and just go home? Or would you go see Jesus? I think you would go. And I think you'd be grateful, eternally grateful, and you would tell all your friends and relatives, "Hey, Jesus is over there. He can take care of your sciatica or whatever you have." And this is how Jesus' reputation spread. And the primary reason that most people came to gatherings where they heard him preach and teach. Our gospel's author was the evangelist Luke. We know that he was a physician trained in the best arts of the healing science of his day. Throughout his gospel, he takes special note of occasions where Jesus healed. In this gospel lesson, Jesus' healing method is indicated by the phrase, "He laid his hands on every one of them," that is, those who were brought to him. Martin Chemnitz, one of the chief theologians of the Lutheran Church, comments about this practice of Jesus, and I quote this at length. "This was Jesus' method of healing. He cast out demons with his word," Matthew 8:16. "The rest he cured by laying on his hands," Luke 4:40. Luke's description is a sweet one, that he did not heal them all at one and the same time as he did in the case of the 10 lepers, but he healed each one of them individually. He healed by laying on his hands. There were different kinds of ailments, ailments from contact with which a more delicate doctor, nauseated or fearing contagion, would have shrunk. However, to show that Jesus is a sort of doctor of both body and soul who despises and turns away from no one, however wretched and filthy he may be, Christ laid his hands not only on those who are laboring under milder and less nauseating ailments, but on each one of them, regardless of the kind of disease. He used the laying on of hands that people might see, in addition to a demonstration of the saving power of his flesh, also the immeasurable regard of his mercy, his goodness, his sympathy, his love of people, that he wanted not only to heal the sick, but even to touch with his most holy hands the places which were so wretchedly and disgustingly afflicted. That's from Martin Chemnitz in The Harmony of the Four Evangelists. Now, this is worth repeating and considering. Jesus' flesh, that is his body, had an intrinsic power to heal people, even when he was not intending to heal them. We can see that in the story of the woman with a hemorrhage, who was healed by touching his garment. That's Luke 8, 43 to 45. But even more, Jesus' hands-on approach to healing demonstrates that his mercy, goodness, sympathy, and love of people never tired and never wore out. Jesus was, as it were, a bottomless well full of sympathy, love, and mercy for everyone. No human doctor or healer could ever match this aspect of Jesus' work, nor should they try to, because doctors are all human like you and me. We have limits, and after we've done a day's work, we need to go home. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to be with Jesus. The fact that I will have eternal life is, at least for me, second place to being with Jesus. Not that I take eternal life for granted, but what good would eternal life be if it's just an eternal version of what I have here on earth? You know, there's a whole lot of things that are not so great about this place. The Christian hope is not just eternal life, but it is also an eternal life free from pain, sickness, suffering, disability, and sorrow. Our Christian hope is that in heaven, we will get to be with Jesus, just like the apostles were. We will get to eat with him, talk with him, listen to him preach and teach, and see his healing and loving care for everyone, full of sympathy, goodness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.